Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello. Settle down at the back, please. Come on. Thank you. Very warm welcome to this very auspicious day in the life of Beulah Baptist Church. My name's Paul. I'm one of the elders here, and I'll be trying to lead you through the processes that we're going to go through this afternoon. Particularly warm welcome to David's family and friends and people who have been invited who I don't know, but very warm welcome to you all. This is an exciting day in the life of Beulah Baptist Church. Today we induce, that's terrible, isn't it? Spell checkers. We induct our eighth senior pastor. So in 120 years, you're the eighth one. Which means on average, you've got 15 years. Which means by the time you go, Naya will have left university. However, we know that you're more than average. So we expect you to be grandparents several times over before you actually go. So, welcome. Two items of housekeeping. We're not expecting to test the fire alarms. If the fire alarm goes off, please leave the building through this door. There are the two doors at the back, and the stewards will show you where to go. And the toilets are through the same doors. So there you go. If you're visiting us, you have all the information you need about the building. Don't think I need to say anything else at the moment. Right, please stand, if you're able. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to lead into a time of worship. Father, Creator God, we thank you for the foundation of this church. We thank you for the faithful servants, all who have gone before, to make this place what it is today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your sacrifice, for the example of your love which binds us together. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to inspire us, to empower us, to strengthen us, to guide us in our service here today and in our service for you in the future. And accept our praise and worship as we stand before you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our worship is led by Hannah and her band from Ashburnham. So over to Hannah.
Sing your praise, O
Yes, Lord, we thank you for that love that we can sing of. We pray that as we go into the future, that we will always remember to sing of your love in our hearts, with our eyes, with our hands, with everything that we do. Amen. We're going to have our first reading from Susan. Or Sue.
Our first reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Thank you, Sue. And now we come to the more formal part of the afternoon, and I have to introduce you to the Reverend Tom Duncanson, Minister of Union Chapel in Heathfield Church. Who's and just to express our thanks to him for his duties as moderator in the last few months. We've appreciated you very much. Thank you very much. And he's here in that capacity and representing the South East Baptist Association, so he's quite a powerful bloke.
That is so not true. So not true. But it is a privilege and indeed a pleasure to be part of this special service in the life of Beulah Baptist Church. As you've just heard, I was able to serve the church very briefly as moderator during this process of appointing David. And it's a delight to be able to represent the wider Baptist family in this act of induction for David as he begins the new phase of ministry here. But I am also commissioned, as it were, to bring you the greetings of our most austere regional minister, the Reverend Stuart Davison, who wishes you all well and assures you of his support and prayers for today as well and the future. So there is a formality to this whole process and this part of the service. So over the next few minutes, we'll hear again something of the journey that has actually led to this day, but also we'll recognise the privilege and indeed the responsibility and in fact the great commitment of both minister and church to each other, to God, and in fact to fulfilling God's mission in the world. So we're going to go through this formality, and I'm going to ask David if you'd like to come up here and stand alongside me anyway and be ready to do your little bit before you have to do your big bit. Okay. Believing this to be a call of God, you, as members of Beulah Baptist Church, have recognised and invited David Lockwood here to become your senior minister. And he now comes to be inducted into this office. At this significant time in the life of both church and minister, I invite you all to renew your commitment to Christ and this church, as together you share in God's mission of his saving love to the world. So first of all, we shall hear how God has led both church and minister to issue and accept this call. We call this telling the story. So I require Erica, wherever you are, to come and to share your thoughts and your process from the church's perspective, and then David will also make his statement in response.
Thank you. Well, David, accompanied by Caroline, Naya and Caitlin, as it was then, no Alana, arrived at Beulah in 2014 for David to take up the post of the associate pastor, working alongside our then senior pastor, Reverend Graham Holliday. And that proved to be a very fruitful partnership for the church and for them personally. And many, many initiatives began during that time. When Graham announced his plans to retire, in due time, the elders and deacons began to pray, and it became very clear to us that David God was God's anointed one to become our senior pastor. And when the time came for Tom to lead our meeting and listen to the way God had led us, he acknowledged that that was the case, and it's been said already, but we were very grateful to his advice. Now, those who are members of the church and congregation will know the letter that the elders and deacons wrote to you all and to be put to the church meeting on the 14th of July. But for the benefit of the many visitors that are here, I'm going to read a little bit of it again. So I know that you will know this already, but for the sake of the visitors. And we wrote, "We believe that in David Lockwood, we have a leader whom the Lord has brought to us, whom we have had the opportunity to come to know over the past 4 years, and whose ministry we have seen develop, and who is God's choice for the current time. We unanimously and enthusiastically recommend his appointment to the church. We ask all who possibly can to meet with us on July the 14th, so that together this leading of the Lord can be confirmed." Now, as you're all well aware, this is a Baptist church. And in Baptist churches, all major decisions are made by a vote of the membership at a church meeting, and in the case of a pastor, a special church members meeting. And on a human level, if we were meeting together to decide the colour of the church walls, there'd be however many different opinions there were people in the room. And so, but we had prayed, the church prayer meeting that had met every Wednesday, as it always does, had been praying since the moment we knew Graham was leaving, that when the time came for the decision, there would be clarity, first of all, clarity, and that there would be unity and agreement. And I know that many people throughout the church were praying. But now, ironically, like many others, I wasn't able to be at that meeting because it was at the beginning of the holiday season, as we were well aware. But by a virtually unanimous vote, it was agreed to invite David to be the senior pastor. And when we came back from holiday, actually we'd had text updates on the day, but when we came back from holiday, the overriding thing that anyone who was there said was the wonderful sense of God, the wonderful sense of unity, the wonderful sense of agreement. And even when I've spoken to Tom earlier today, he said, well, I was surprised how quickly it went. Not quickly because anything was being rushed through, but quickly because God had spoken and made it clear. So that was our journey. And I know this isn't where we've got here. This little bit is me. So the leading of the Lord was indeed confirmed on July the 14th. And I personally have no doubt as the months and years go past that we'll have more confirmation as we see the fruits of David's ministry. But I don't believe the fruit will be where he stands in the pecking order of those eight ministers, you know, like a little beauty contest. Well, where is he then? Those with long memories could probably compare about seven of them. But actually, I believe that, well, there are, you know what I mean? There are people in this church that have been here through a lot. Sorry. But under David's leadership, I believe the fruit will be. Didn't think that was going to be that funny. But I believe the fruit will be that how under David's leadership we as a church are all freed up and encouraged to use our gifts to see the kingdom of God released in Bexhill and beyond. Amen.
Thanks, Erica. David, would you like to see?
Good afternoon. It's always dangerous, isn't it, when a pastor says there's a few things I need to add. but I do, because this will be the only opportunity I'll get to share. So before I do tell of my story, I just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you, as I look across the faces of just different people from past and from present. It's great to see a mixture of different folk, and also through the turning, great to have the Ashburnham guys here and different people we've built up relationships with as a church and also as a Baptist family. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of this event. It means so much to us as a family just to join with us in this significant moment. So thank you very much, one and all. But I guess in doing the shortened version of the my start of this journey, I didn't know Graham was retiring, but we were in conversation about transition planning, because he obviously wasn't going to be here for to try and get the record of 15 years. And in that course of that conversation, it was decided to go away on sabbatical and seek the Lord's leading as to what he's calling you to in the future, and you have our blessing, as it were, to open up that conversation to see whether or not it's to take on the role of senior pastor here. So I thought, well, okay, I can do that, and there's no pressure. And then just before I left, Graham said, by the way, I'll be leaving this time that next year, which was good in a sense, because it did give us a lot of time, but it focused everything down a little bit more. And I was blessed to go to a leadership conference, and someone gave a prophetic word at the front and said, if you want God to speak and to move in your life, can I encourage you to come forward for prayer, because you need to be open-handed about your current circumstances and just where you want God to move. And so I thought, well, that's quite applicable. I went forward for prayer and explained to the guy my situation, and he just said, I know it sounds really cheesy, but as we were waiting on the Lord, the verse from Psalm 37, verse 4 came to mind. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And taking that slightly ambiguous phrase to heart, I went off to McDonald's in Brighton and took some time and space and just said, okay, Lord, search me, know me, the desires of my heart. And three distinct things came to mind. The first one was for my wife and to see her flourish, and my responsibility as a husband. Get choked up there. Secondly, just a vision came to this church, and for how that outworks and its values and its principles, and then lastly, a leadership culture. And so I collected all that together, and just amazing, in an hour and a half, what God was speaking and saying. Came back home, gave my wife some homework, and just said, I think this is where the Lord's leading, and this is your part in this. Gave her some books and chapters to read, she was like, I probably don't go away again. But really, at the end of that sabbatical, and I've been away different things and been praying, and I went to another conference, just enjoyed the time and space, and I went to go and pray with someone, and this time I said nothing. I just said, I don't know what the future holds. I'm making a big decision, just whatever comes to mind. And two guys prayed for me, and the guy said to me, I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but there's this verse from Psalm 37 that I can't shake from me. And the other guy looked at him and said, me too! I was like, well, actually, at the beginning, 2 months ago, these guys gave a similar verse that said the same thing. And as we've explored that journey, as we've worked that through with the leadership, with the church, there's been a great coming together. And just as a further and final confirmation, as a home group, we've been sending out messages to each other as calls to worship and as verses to inspire one another. And I think Amy's joined the dots, because Amy up in the balcony, whose turn it was to send a verse out, and she wasn't going to do it today, but she sent out a verse this morning, and it was Psalm 37. Verses 3 and 4. So you can either believe in coincidences. Out of all the verses in the Bible, out of all the times of today, it was these things that lined up. And so for us, it's a major confirmation that you just saw the Lord leading, and obviously everything went its due course, as Erica said, and we are delighted, excited, and yeah, everything that comes with it to be here at this moment.
Thank you. You need to come.
I do.
You do. You do. I've just noticed. Almost. Not quite.
Almost.
I thought it was a uniform for a minute. David, I'm going to ask you some questions about your own faith. All Christians are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow in his way. David, as a Christian minister, you are first a disciple of Christ. And so I ask you to affirm afresh your faith and trust in God, a faith which you have already confessed in baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
David, you've been called to be the senior pastor of this church and congregation. Do you accept the charge from Christ to care for his people with diligence and compassion? Will you care for the weak, bring Christ's healing to the brokenhearted, lift up the downcast, and pray regularly for those committed into your care?
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Will you equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ? Will you lead and enable God's people in their mission to the world, seeking God's kingdom, proclaiming the gospel in word and deed, and seeking to make Christ known in every way?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Will you also make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? By your example, will you lead this church in all godly living and devotion to Christ through prayer and the reading of the Scriptures? Will you be faithful in the leading of worship, in presiding at the table of the Lord, and in preaching the Word of God?
In the name of God, who is the Father of all, the living Word, and the Spirit of unity, I will.
And just as an aside, I want you to reflect on those words and those promises that David has made before you. It's a huge responsibility, and he needs your support and your prayer to do that. Caroline, I'd like to invite you to come and join me, please. Caroline, you have heard the promises made by David today. Will you join in that commitment to Christ and his people, promising to support and encourage him in his ministry in this church and community? And now I turn to you, confessing faith and promising faithfulness. There are three stages in these questions. First of all, to the leadership and the deacons of the church, then to the members of the church, and then finally to the whole congregation. So first of all, those of you who are elders, deacons, and in leadership in this church, will you please stand? Do you believe that you have been called by God to work together humbly and willingly in serving this church and community? Okay. I think it's up there. All right. There is an answer. Okay. Do you promise to honour and respect one another, doing nothing from vain conceit, but in humility regarding others as better than yourselves? And do you promise to work with the members of this church in its calling to seek the kingdom of God? Now, members of the church, would you please stand? My sisters and brothers, a new chapter in the life of this church is open today. I invite you now to renew your commitment to Christ and this church, to affirm again the vows of your baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you accept and welcome David as your senior pastor? And do you promise to honour and support him with your love and prayers, working together with him in your shared calling to witness to Christ in this place? Paul the Apostle says, "You were bought with a price." Will you serve Jesus Christ as Lord, bearing witness to him, and daily taking up your cross to follow him. And now would the whole congregation please stand. As family and friends, as representatives of the wider church and community, will you offer your support at this new beginning in the life of the church and minister? And will you join in praying for them all? We're going to pray for David and for Caroline. And I'm going to invite those who are first of all involved in that to come and join us around. Too far away. So if you'd like to come forward, you can stand or kneel or whatever you want. And if you'd gather round, that's fine. And then just feel free to pray.
Right, David. Verse, Psalm 78. That's chapter 78, verse 71 and 72. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him a shepherd of Jacob's descendants. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. And Lord, we lay hands on David as a leadership representing Beulah. And we're asking, Lord, that as you have prepared this man, you have taken him from a place of learning and put him into a place of responsibility. And we're praying, Lord, that you will massage his heart, that he has a caring, pure heart for your sheep. But, Lord, he would be a man of vision, and he would lead your people into a furtherance and growing of your kingdom. And may we be faithful in standing with him and praying with him that he should be a faithful, trustworthy servant of the Lord, pure in the eyes of God. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint afresh David for this new season of ministry, as we are so thankful as we look back and praise you for all that's happened to this point in time. We now look to the future and trust you for all that's to come with great enthusiasm. And we pray that that new thing that we've been praying about and looking to might come here by your Spirit, that we may see you working in ways that perhaps we could never, ever imagine as David, supported by Caroline, serves you in this place. We give you thanks and we pray your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take root in this place. This Holy Spirit will take root in David. And the Holy Spirit will change the church, the people in the church, as never before. Bless us, Father, that you will bless this community around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to ask for a special blessing upon David's three lovely girls. I pray that they will really know your love, and as they come to this church all the time, that they will grow in your love and come to know you as their Saviour. Amen.
We thank you, Father, that David has three roles, main roles in life now, as pastor to us, as a husband to Caroline, and as a father to his children. We just pray that you will give him the wisdom in juggling those three roles, and also for finding time for himself. And we just ask that the whole congregation will support him in this. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
set before him. Thank you for the blessing that he has already been in ministry. Thank you for the wisdom that he already holds. But our prayer for him now is that by your Holy Spirit, you would fill him with much more of your wisdom, of your knowledge. Give him the ability to see into the future, so that as you have called him to lead this church and congregation, he might know the path in which you are walking. We pray, Father God, that you would become more and more real, more and more evident in this place. And may this place, through David's ministry and the support of all those around him, may it become a shining light, a true beacon into the community, where people can find their source of need. We pray, Father God, that you would overwhelm them with your love, with your enabling power, and with your sustaining power, and bring about the fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Should we stand together if you're able and sing Cornerstone?
We've got a couple of things to do yet. We're not quite there.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. We're almost there. He's not actually done yet. Come back. Yeah. Just, I've got to make the declaration. Got to do that first of all. So, but you can come and stand alongside Caroline, because this is joint ministry, really, whether you like it or not. It is. David. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the Baptist Union of Great Britain and the Southeastern Baptist Association, and indeed Beulah Baptist Church, I declare you inducted, not induced, to the role of senior pastor of this church and congregation. God bless you. Like you. But you need prayers as a family, so I know that the next bit, we've got a little bit more here, where we're going to pray for you as a family particularly. And so we've got Graham and Ed and Emma. Right.
Okay.
If you'd like to come up. All right.
David, Caroline, Naya, Caitlin and Alana, may God's blessing be upon you as a family. His peace be ever present in your home. May it be a safe and loving space full of fun and laughter where you can grow together. May God protect you in all that comes your way, both as a family doing life together and the joys of being in ministry. May he give you the patience to cope with each other and the grace to love one another through all things. May God draw you together by his Holy Spirit, empowering you to do amazing things for him. Each of you growing in the uniqueness God has blessed you with, playing your part in what makes the Lockwood family so special. May this ongoing season here as part of the family that is Beulah Baptist Church and the community of Bexhill be full of God's abundance, blessing and loads of really great memories along the way. You're a totally wonderful family. Be blessed. Amen.
Now, I felt when I was praying for you guys, particularly for you girls, can you imagine a secret garden? A secret garden. Can you imagine it? And God says, today, you've got the key to a new secret garden. You're entering a new season with your family. And it's like the garden's got even bigger. And it's got fountains to explore. It's got, like, strawberries and fruit. Perhaps it's even got a trampoline. But God says he's got an abundant garden for you to explore as a family. And you're going to see what you can find. And you guys are going to teach mum and dad stuff too. So, Lord, we thank you for this new season that these guys are entering in. We thank you for this new garden that they're going to find. Help them to weed and plant and sow. And may they find lots and lots of fruit, lots of your fruit in that really beautiful, special place. Amen.
As you can imagine, it's a very moving occasion for me to be able to pray for David and for Caroline. And to have your own prayers answered, because they were prayers that I prayed, that my very good friend and colleague in the ministry would be enabled to be welcomed to lead the church on. And it has been such an emotional time, but such a wonderful time. And I want to thank God for that, and then to pray for them both together with their children. So I'm going to let Christine pray for perhaps the involvement of Caroline, because she worked closely with her. And I'll pray for David. Oh Lord our God, we are so thankful that you go before us, but that also you treat us to insights before you bring about what you're planning. And Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to share ministry with David, and then to be able to, like many examples in the scriptures of mantles being passed or encouragement made, to be able to hand over something, not that it's repeated, but that it's given a new and fresh impetus to lead God's people. And to that extent, Lord, I do pray that you will grant to David and to Caroline good friends, people who love them, people who stand by them, safe people, secure people, that indeed they will be all the more enriched, as Christine and I were so enriched with our relationship with them, which goes on even though we're not here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'd just like to start by thanking Caroline for the wonderful relationship that the two of us had over the last few years. And Lord, thank you so much for the way that you have gifted Caroline, the different things that she can do. And Lord, I just want to particularly pray for her now in this next season. Lord, I pray that you will help her to have the opportunity to use those gifts that you have given to her specifically. And Lord, I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you too for these three lovely girls that you have blessed this family with. And pray again, as others have prayed already, just pray for them as they grow up. We pray that you will keep them safe and well. And as they go through their schooling with the various pressures that that will involve, we just pray that you will bless them, their teachers, and for David and Caroline as they have to perhaps tackle difficult issues in the future. We just pray so much for your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're now going to join together in sealing this act of induction and sharing in the blessing together. The words should come on the screen. I invite you all to stand and to say these words over David and Caroline. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Darkness is
Please be seated, and Peter is going to come and give us our second reading.
Good afternoon. It's a great privilege to be asked to do this, although I dreaded it for weeks. This comes from Ephesians 1:15-23. And if you're following on the church Bibles, it's on page 1173. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know him, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head of everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Now, I'd like to invite Guy to come and speak to us. If I could...
I pray for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Guy. Thank you for his presence here with us today. We thank you for all that he means to David and the mentoring that they've done together over the last few years. And we thank you for what he's been doing in Sidley as well with our sister church. And Father, we pray now that you will speak through him to David, to Caroline, but to us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's great to be here. I've just got to sort out a few props for myself. So just talk amongst yourself for a few minutes and then I'll be back. Please talk. Don't go all silent on me. You're not going to talk, are you? Right. I'm pastor of New Life Church in Blackboys in Mid-Sussex. I'm moderating at Sidley. That's the connection there. And I was preaching there this morning. And I started off by saying, according to the Bible, David was a handsome man with beautiful eyes and a ruddy complexion. And someone shouted out, "What, David Lockwood?" I'll leave that up to you to decide. Now, David tells me that you're a bright bunch. Bexhill are a bright bunch of people. So I'm going to start off with a little word association game here, okay? A bit of audience participation. So it's a phrase of six words. You don't have to get it exactly right. Hopefully you'll know it. I've tried this out on various people. They've all got it, okay? So no pressure. Six words. It's a book. It's a film. And also it's a play. And I'm going to use a prop to help me with this, okay? And if you don't get it the first time round, I'll have to give you another clue. So six-word phrase. A bowl and a spoon for those who can't see at the back. Yes? Who said that? Oh, Oliver Twist, please, sir. I want some more. Well done. Fantastic. Let me put my little bowl on the side there. From Oliver Twist, of course. So now, hopefully, we're going to watch a clip from Roman Polanski's film, Oliver Twist, with that little bit, that section in. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Peter, I want some more.
What?
Peter, I want some more.
Dun, dun, dun. So Oliver and his fellow orphans are starving, hungry. And on the walls of the canteen, you may not be able to make it out, it said, God is holy, God is truth. And before they receive that bowl of sloppy kind of gruel, a grace is said, O Lord God, for the blessing of this generous and bountiful meal that thou hast placed before us, we give you thanks. Yet in spite of all of that context, Oliver has the audacity, the impudence, how dare he, to ask for more. What disrespect, what greed, what selfishness. Is he not content, satisfied with what God has given him, provided him? And surely he deserves punishment. So the dreaded Mr. Bumble, the parish beadle, is summoned to deal with the situation. I wonder, does your prayer life, your Christian life, your church life, your life reflect a faith, a relationship, a trust with God who is truly generous and bountiful? Or in reality, are you more like Oliver with a nervous kind of cap in hand, almost expecting no for an answer kind of approach to God? Paul, in his opening verses to the letter of Ephesians, so a bit before the bit that was read out, he tells the church at Ephesus, and therefore us, that in and through Christ our spiritual bowls are full to the brim and overflowing with God's generous and bountiful blessing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Here comes my little prop here. I'm going to make a mess. Who vacuums the stage? I apologise. I'm actually going to use a tray. I'll be kind. So spiritual illustration, what we just read out. Actually, could you hold that for me, Tom? You thought he'd finished, but no. Our spiritual bowl, okay? God's blessing. Filled to the brim and overflowing. If you could stand there, no. I'm going to put that here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's you and me, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And note there the key thing, the past tense, we have been blessed already. And the Apostle Paul, in seeking to explain those blessings that we have already received in Christ, can barely contain himself in the first part of chapter 1. He says God's loving grace towards us is free, yet rich and lavish and generous, and has been poured out for us in and through Jesus Christ. Then Paul lists in the first part of chapter 1 all the blessings that we have received, and then kind of exhorts us to praise God for them. Just let me take a couple of those blessings now and thank God for them in prayer. Father God, I thank and praise you that unlike Oliver, I am no longer an orphan. You chose me in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in your sight. In love, you predestined me for adoption into your family, and now I am a co-heir, co-inheritor of all your blessing in and through Jesus Christ. And you have given me the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing all that is to come. Amen. So if our spiritual bowls, if you like, our hearts already full to overflowing with God's blessing, how can we ask
for more? How can we ask for more? At any one point in time, the National Lottery published a list of unclaimed lottery tickets. So last week when I checked, there were 10 people across United Kingdom yet to collect their £1 million prizes. And none subtly in Bexhill. That'd been good for the building fund. So no need to dash home and check your ticket if you do that kind of thing. So 10 people at this very moment who are richly blessed, some of whom may be in desperate need, yet they're walking around metaphorically with their bowls empty, not yet living in the reality of what they already have. How sad that is. And if they don't claim it within 180 days, they'll never see that blessing. Paul is at pains. He cannot contain himself. I can imagine the scribe trying to get this all down as he just overflowed, trying to explain God's generosity and grace towards us. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But then he goes on to say, at the start of the reading we had today, for this very reason, for the very reason that you've already been blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for this reason we ask for more. In the sense of, we are to lay claim of, lay hold of, live in the fullness of the reality of that which we've already received in Jesus Christ. We are to live from a place of blessing and not strive and work for one. We are already there. We live from a place of blessing, increasingly becoming who we already are in Jesus Christ. That's what Christian life is about. Becoming who you already are through what Jesus Christ has done through the finished work of the cross. No more can be given to you. It has already been given to you. What we have to do is to take, receive, live in the reality of what has already been given to us. To avail ourselves of it. To appropriate it in our lives. Otherwise, and I speak to myself here, we're in danger of becoming the spiritual equivalent of people who've won the lottery, yet never won, claimed the prize. The prize has been won for us in and through Jesus Christ. And we live, therefore, in a disconnect between what we already have and how we live. And we need to try and bring those two lines together. To live increasingly in the fullness, the reality of that which we have already received. You don't have to strain for it, strive for it. Through grace, it has been given to you, deposited to you through the Holy Spirit. Some of you know I have two children, Matt, 17, and Saskia, 14. And like all adopted children, and this goes for our spiritual adoption as well, but like all adopted children, they're unique. Because Lucy and I chose them. And after a long and torturous process, we eventually became their legal parents. And at that moment, don't know whether you realise this, they were issued with amended birth certificates. New passports bearing our surname, new certificates, birth certificates bearing our surname. And at that point, we changed our wills accordingly. In effect, on the day of legal adoption in the High Court in London, all that Lucy and I have became theirs. They're both always asking for more. Especially our teenage daughter. But we give them what is theirs already. Do you get the point? God has chosen you. Before the creation of the world. This is mind-blowing stuff. He chose you. Not the person sitting next to you. You. To be blessed in the heavenly realms with the fullness of Christ. You have received all that. And God is desperate for you to live increasingly in reality of that which you already have. And I'm not going to unpack all this in detail. I'm trying to give you the heart of these verses. They're glorious. You could spend a year unpacking the verses we had read to us. But when it comes to asking for more, the more is centered on Christ. It's always about Christ. It's centered on Jesus Christ. It is claimed, appropriated through prayer, and is conveyed to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul then unpacks what the more conveyed looks like. A greater knowledge of God, a greater understanding of what is already ours in Jesus Christ, already yours, and a greater manifestation of God's resurrection power in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want and need all those things. And God said, ask me for them. And Jesus himself said, didn't he? If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I've really loved this summer. I love the seaside, I love the sunshine, and every single opportunity this year we've gone to the beach, Eastbourne usually. And so myself, Lucy, and our two children. And what often happens is this kind of pattern. So Saskia, our teenage daughter, will sit on the shingle, not wanting to go in, that kind of grumpy look that only teenage girls can give you. My son Matt wants to go in, but he's a little bit fearful of the water. And he's only got an ounce of fat on him, so he feels the cold, actually. So he literally stands in the shallows, kind of paddling. I'm one of those annoying people. It takes me a long time to get in. And I have this theory that if you go in, then out, and go back in again, it feels warmer. So, do you know what I mean? It works for me. So it takes me a while, but I finally get there. And my wife is one of those annoying people who just walks very purposefully, quietly and gracefully, no fuss, no oohs and ahs, and just walks in and starts swimming. Which one are you most like when it comes to receiving your blessings in Christ? And what hinders you from going deeper? From asking for more, for living in the reality and the fullness of the more which is already yours. What hinders you? Only you know that. Only you can answer that. But in fact, it's God asking you that. What is stopping you? The fullness, the richness, the glory, the grace, the generosity is all yours. Poured out already. You have received it. What is stopping you, hindering you from walking more fully into it? I recently went up to see my dad. He's 89 and quite frail, but still, you know, still got all his wits about him. And he could get out a lot more. So last time me and Lucy went up there, we were kind of badgering him to kind of get out from the house. There's so many clubs and societies and people willing to give him lifts. He's got the money, so there's nothing hindering him in that sense. But he just won't do it. He's stubborn as a mule. Yeah. And we tried everything. And then Lucy suddenly said, in a moment of inspiration, she said, Roger, do you want to get out more? No. No. We were wasting our time. He didn't want more. And that is the root for all of us, I think. It's all about desire. Do you want more of God? Do you? Or are you kind of content with what you already have? About 10 days ago, I took a couple up in our congregation to a funeral of an old friend of theirs up in Cheam. They were members of Cheam, it's an Anglican church up in Cheam, thriving church up there. So I took them up. We arrived for lunch and they went to lunch with a couple they've known for 50 odd years, husband and wife. The husband was called Brian, the people that host us for lunch. Brian is 88. He has trouble walking. He's a bit doddery. He fell over recently, which has exacerbated the situation. And by his own mission, he's a bit forgetful. And just before lunch, we sat down for coffee. And I sat next to the coffee table, and he had three books, theological books, he had on the go. And the book I picked up, which I've since bought, is simply this, entitled More. More. How can you have more of the Spirit when you already have everything in Christ? I was there for about half an hour. I found him a huge inspiration. 88. He's left 46 alphas. Kind of coming to the end of his life, and he is still seeking and desperate for more. Hallelujah. I want to be like that. And we need men and women in the church to be like that, to model it to other people. Like Moses, who wanted to see God's glory. Like Elijah, who wanted a double portion of blessing. Like David, whose soul panted after God, like a deer pants after streams of water. Brian still wanted more. And God wants us to ask him for more. It's theirs for you already. And it will never run out. The well will never run dry. And unlike Oliver, you probably saw the bit where they drew straws to decide who would go forward to ask for more on everyone else's behalf. This message is for each and every one of us. It's not a case of, oh, let's ask David, push him forward to ask for more. Let's ask one of the elders to go forward and ask for more. At the beginning of the chapter, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, it's addressed to everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. And in turn, addresses all of us today. Do you want more? Because the blessing is already there for you to receive. And God is desperate, longing for you to ask for it. Amen. Amen.
Should we stand and sing together, King of Kings?
Sing and live to your
please remain standing if you can for a blessing for us here as a church, for all of us here, but particularly for David and for Caroline. May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes. May the love of God be reflected in your hands. May the knowledge of God flow from your heart. May the word of God be the seed that you sow, so that all may see and all may hear, and in seeing and hearing may come to believe. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, that concludes the formal part of the proceedings, but being a Baptist church, of course, we have food. So, the cakes are through that door there. If you could go into the hall through that door there, passing our newly beautifully refurbished toilets on the right-hand side. If you haven't seen those yet, please feel free to admire them. The ladies was hidden, but we've put a notice up now, so you're okay. If you could go out through that door, there will be four lines, two lines of tables, so you can go down either side of the table to pick up a plate, bring your cake, choose what cake you want, and could you bring it back in here? Coming through this door here so that we don't have a traffic jam. Tea and coffee will be brought to you in here, so you don't have to carry a cup, okay, of hot stuff. So that is the way it's going to work. Very, very appropriate if David and Caroline led the way, really. Informed that there are dairy-free cakes and gluten-free cakes. Get us, eh?